industrias cinematográficas, musicales y editoriales que dicen perder ganancias cuando alguien hace copias de sus productos y los comparte con otros. Catista Rodríguez es la directora internacional de la Fundación Frontera Electrónica, entidad con sede en San Francisco.
Ambas legislaciones van a silenciar de manera inconstitucional la libertad de expresión, permitiendo que la industria del entretenimiento cierre sitios que son acusados supuestamente de violar los derechos de autor, pero sin ningún tipo de debido proceso. Estos proyectos van a dar un poder sin precedentes a las corporaciones y a otras entidades privadas para censurar sitios web extranjeros con órdenes judiciales, pero que van a cortar, por ejemplo, todas las operaciones de pago y los anunciantes. Estas normas, de aprobarse alguno de estos proyectos, el gobierno, por ejemplo, sería capaz de obligar a uno de los proveedores de servicio de Internet, aquellas empresas que te dan la conexión a Internet, y a los motores de búsqueda, por ejemplo, como Google, Yahoo, Bing, a bloquear los intentos de los usuarios de querer acceder a uno de estos sitios web que se han identificado en la lista negra. Los resultados de búsqueda va a ser como que censurado. Esta ley no está atacando el problema, sino que está creando un problema mayor. Ha sido muy criticada inclusive por los ingenieros que crearon la Internet, porque está creando más inseguridades que riesgos a la seguridad de la Internet, que ya de por sí hay problemas. Por ejemplo, la administración de Obama ha dicho claramente hace unos días que no va a apoyar ningún proyecto de ley que reduzca la libertad de expresión, incremente riesgos a la seguridad o socave el dinamismo y la innovación de este Internet global.
Uno de los simpatizantes de esta legislación es la industria fílmica, supuestamente porque ellos son victimados, ellos pierden dinero, pierden ganancias porque alguien está robándose, violando sus derechos intelectuales, está plagiando su trabajo. Eso sugiere de que Hollywood ahorita tiene problemas económicos, pero parece que no es cierto, ¿no?
No, si hay una infracción del derecho de autor, nadie está diciendo que ellos no deban ejercer el derecho de autor si es que lo tienen, pero las normas actuales ahorita les dan una avenida legal para poder ejercer esos derechos. Hay normas ya establecidas para ellos. Esas normas no están atacando al criminal, están atacando a la mayoría de usuarios de Internet que se van a ver inhibidos de poder acceder a esa web. Inclusive muchos daños colaterales a webs que no tienen nada que ver con la infracción de derecho de autor. Y ya ha habido casos de ese tipo. Entonces, estas disposiciones, además, va a dañar terriblemente a la industria de tecnología, que es la que actualmente está dando un motor de trabajo a la comunidad acá en los Estados Unidos. Y porque ya los inversionistas en temas de startups, para todas las empresas de tecnología que en época de crisis han producido mucho y han dado mucho trabajo, que no van a invertir en ellas, porque estas normas van a crear muchos riesgos legales. Y todas estas empresas y las empresas pequeñas que salen, que crean grandes empresas desde su computadora, en su garage, van a tener que estar contratando abogados para ver que no sean responsables. Porque lo que hacen estas normas es crear una nueva responsabilidad en estas empresas de proactivamente monitorear los contenidos que pasan por sus redes para ver si es que hay algo que infringe los derechos de autor. Esa nueva obligación crea una carga muy grande para a todas estas empresas. Y ellas no son las responsables de el contenido ilegal, transmitiendo el contenido, ¿no?
No solamente los proveedores de Internet, sino algunas otras empresas van a ser encargadas de hacer el trabajo policiaco, de vigilar a la gente, espiar a la gente y luego pasarle esa información sobre supuestos violadores al gobierno, o ellos van a actuar unilateralmente, ya van a tener la autoridad para actuar y tomar medidas en contra de los supuestos violadores.
Bueno, sea los derechos de autor, los ISPs o el gobierno, pueden pedirles que cierren ciertas páginas web que son acusadas supuestamente por derechos de autor, pero no van a pasar por un juez, sino que va a ser sin un debido proceso. Ese es el gran problema.
En lo que va a la propuesta de ley en el Senado, ¿cuál es lo que ustedes consideran lo más perjudicial para los derechos, la privacidad de la gente?
Realmente esta norma es tan mal hecha que no se puede arreglar. Realmente tiene que morir. No hay forma. Todos los artículos tienen de una u otra manera consecuencias graves para la libertad de expresión, sea a través de los nombres de dominio o sea a través de esas nuevas obligaciones a las compañías de Internet, a los intermediarios, para que monitoreen y vigilen lo que los usuarios están pasando por sus redes. Todas ellas tienen consecuencias muy graves. Y también hay consecuencias muy graves para los latinos que viven fuera de los Estados Unidos. O sea, si bien estos proyectos de ley son estadounidenses, tienen implicaciones para todos los usuarios de Internet fuera de los Estados Unidos, porque existen artículos en el proyecto de ley que tratan los datos IP de quién se comunica con quién, el que te identifica cuando tú te conectas a la Internet, como si estuviera sujeto a la jurisdicción de Estados Unidos. Y más aún, la industria del entretenimiento está haciendo un lobby muy fuerte. Lo mismo que están tratando de imponer aquí con el proyecto SOPA y PIPA, lo están tratando de hacer a través de tratados internacionales. Uno es el Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement y el otro es el otro tratado internacional, Transatlantic Partnership Agreement o TPP. Y muchos lobbies también tratando de pasar estas mismas normas en España, ahora hemos publicado algo en Singapur. Entonces es un problema que no solo va a afectar a los usuarios de Internet en Estados Unidos, pero también a nivel internacional. Y es este mismo grupo del entretenimiento que está moviendo esa agenda en distintos países del mundo.
De alguna manera, los intereses políticos de la industria del entretenimiento parecen coincidir con las aspiraciones de algunos políticos de tener más acceso a los datos privados de la gente. ¿Por qué piensas tú?
Bueno, el problema de la privacidad es un problema muy grave. Actualmente, muchas normas a nivel mundial no tratan a los datos de tráfico, como por ejemplo, a quién se comunica por quién y por cuánto tiempo, con el mismo nivel de protección que tiene el contenido de tu email. Pero los datos, esos rastros que dejamos cada vez que utilizamos el Internet, pueden decir mucho de cada persona. ¿Dónde ha estado? ¿Con quién se comunica? Y se pueden sacar patrones de comportamiento sobre el tiempo que simplemente pueden usarse si no hay normas estrictas para muchos fines que no son fines políticos, fines legales. Por ejemplo, a nivel mundial, y es un proyecto que también se viene discutiendo acá en los Estados Unidos, hay una ley, por ejemplo, en Europa, que obliga a los ISPs a retener todos sus datos de tráfico, o sea, quién se comunicó con quién, por cuánto tiempo y desde dónde está localizado, por 6 meses hasta 2 años, por posible uso de las agencias de seguridad. Pero retienen los datos no del que está supuestamente cometiendo un crimen, que es lo que debería ser, que sea dirigido, ¿no? Es de todos los ciudadanos, de los 500 millones europeos. Entonces, esas son las normas, que en vez de estar dirigidas al que es supuestamente el criminal, vienen dirigidas al público en general, a los inocentes europeos que no están cometiendo ningún crimen ni son sospechosos de algo, o no, ni siquiera son materia de investigación.
¿Tú aceptas de que se necesita un cierto control contra los plagiarios del talento, el valor artístico de películas, canciones, etcétera, pero debe ser razonable ese límite, ¿no?
Ya tienen una norma, y es la Digital Millennium Copyright Act, la DMCA, que además fue exportada por el gobierno de Estados Unidos a todo el mundo. Casi los tratados de libre comercio, por ejemplo, entre Estados Unidos y América Latina, contienen las obligaciones que están en la norma europea y la han estandarizado. Si alguien ha puesto un contenido que es ilegal, ellos pueden pedir con una notice and takedown bajar ese contenido ilegal que es focalizado a ese contenido. Y hay toda una serie de reglas para que los derechos de autor puedan ejercer sus derechos. Y esa es una norma que fue promovida en los Estados Unidos y se ha estandarizado y ha estado funcionando. Y es la que ha hecho que el Internet también vibre la industria de entretenimiento de actualizar sus modelos de negocio con la Internet para buscar nuevas formas de poder beneficiarse en vez de tratar de criminalizar a la mayoría de usuarios de Internet en todo el mundo.
Lo que me da la impresión es de que esto es un paso más hacia la intervención de la misma manera de que el Acta Patriota intenta abarcar todo lo privado y lo público de la población para tener una observación muy penetrante sobre todo lo que hace la población. ¿Tú estás de acuerdo con eso?
Es una norma muy invasiva de la privacidad y es una norma que efectivamente da mayor poder, mayor información para eliminar el anonimato en Internet, porque es todo para tratar de identificar quiénes son los usuarios que supuestamente están infringiendo los derechos de autor, y las normas que se están pasando tratan de eliminar el anonimato, y el anonimato es esencial para la libertad de expresión, para la privacidad, y es uno de los fundamentos más importantes de este país y en varios países del mundo, especialmente para aquellos que quieren ser un disidente, tener opiniones que son distintas de la mayoría, o para poder ejercer libremente sin sentir que están observados todo el día por todo lo que hacen, sea por las agencias del orden y el gobierno, ¿no? Es mayor información para sus bases de datos. Sí.
¿Alguna sugerencia o recomendación para la gente que nos escucha?
Sí, hay muchas herramientas en nuestra página web. Si ellos visitan www.internet.com eff.org y tenemos herramientas que permiten la navegación anónima en Internet. Hay un programa que se llama Tor, T-O-R, que te permite navegar de forma anónima, que significa el IP que te identifica, que puedes llegar a identificarte, desde dónde te estás comunicando y dejar todos tus rastros de tráfico que estábamos hablando, y los anonimiza. Entonces es una herramienta importante. También, si estás navegando en la Internet, trata de utilizar un navegador, una URL que tenga HTTPS, la S, que significa de seguridad, no HTTP, HTTPS, para que terceros no puedan saber qué páginas estás visitando. También tenemos un manual que se llama Surveillance Self-Defense, Autodefensa contra la Vigilancia, en la que te enseñamos algunas tácticas para que tú puedas saber cómo comunicarte de forma segura.
Era Katitza Rodríguez, directora internacional de la Fundación Frontera Electrónica, entidad con sede en San Francisco. Además de la industria cinematográfica, el apoyo a las controversiales propuestas viene de la Cámara de Comercio y de Walt Disney. Compañías proveedoras de servicios de Internet señalan que de convertirse en leyes, las medidas las convertirían en la policía cibernética. Críticos de Sopa y Pipa aseguran que se trata de otro intento del gobierno para aplicar censura en el Internet. Presenta peligros para la seguridad digital, amenaza la libre expresión y limita el aspecto innovativo de las y los usuarios de la red. Insisten en que si el gobierno quiere saber qué sitios web visita alguien, examinar su correo electrónico y leer sus mensajes privados en Facebook, primero debe mostrar que hay motivo razonable para hacerlo y adquirir una orden judicial firmada por un juez. Aquí concluye esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de todas las personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez y el resto de nuestro equipo de producción, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Y gracias a Información Pacífica. Coming up next on Free Radio, it's Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. All in English, I'm afraid, so stay tuned.
When
Uncle Banzai, the Essential Uncle Banzai, which is a group I much appreciate and played frequently on the show, although hopefully not too frequently, because I hate repeating myself if I can avoid it. Looks like we got some feedback here. How are we doing? A little bit loud. Wow, somebody really turned up the mic here. Well, welcome to Bathrop Spears Broadsides. We're going to be chatting and singing and chattering at you, or at least I'm going to be playing tapes that do that and perhaps some stuff off the internet, and your calls as well for the next 2 hours, going till 8 when Uncle Dennis will come loping into the studio with From the Cream to the Dregs. He's going to be a little late tonight, I think, hopefully not because of any accidental slippery problems with the rain, which has just begun. But I think he has some other meetings. He's asked me to put on an earlier, older show rather than play more of my own vital and valuable stuff. We'll see if I can control myself to do that. In any case, what's coming up tonight? Some more interviews from the last couple of months, mostly around the Occupy initiatives that have attempted to change the dialogue. Rise up past the despair and apathy that many people feel given the grotesque economic and political situation we're living in, both locally and nationally, and perhaps internationally here in 2012. And action by a community itself, united with other communities, or associated at least with other communities, newly forming to take action against the most obvious despoilers of the dream, the structure of the economy and the political system that gives huge amounts of power to the war-making 1% of the country, which leads the rest of us into poverty and helps us to waste our lives, frankly, is how I see it. That was the fall of the Occupy movement, which here in Santa Cruz made quite a beginning. The longest, largest, most self-managed homeless encampment in Santa Cruz history that I'm aware of. It's true there were earlier encampments, some of them simply tolerated by authorities in sort of an off in the bushes area, the back 40, one at Coral Street Open Air Shelter, it was called, another one in the back area across Highway 1, past Denny's restaurant, Camp Paradise. And there have been protests, of course, last summer's, or I should say the summer of 2010's, Peace Camp 2010, which created a safe zone, the only all-night bathroom in town at the time. Actually, there was another one at the Homeless Service Center created by Homeless Service Center Director Doug Loisel and what has now become the Homeless Lack of Services Center, with services being increasingly cut back, although you wouldn't know it from the good times primping and posturing of that also frilly, smiley politico, Monica Martinez, the executive director of the Homeless Lack of Services Center. I'm just raring to put something on the Good Times. Whoa, on the Good Times website, which I probably will do later and talk about it on Sunday. It sounds like that's a phone call, but that, well, it was a phone call. Try calling back. There are phone-in lines here. For those of you who don't remember, it's 427-3772 and 469-3119. Let's see who's calling in. Howdy, you are on Free Radio.
Robert, has your program already started? This is Gail in D.C.
You are on the air, Gail, and yes, it has started. Make sure
Turn down your radio. Well, I thought I was making a pre-call to make sure that you'd be able to hear it.
Well, no, it's too late, and everybody can hear you in all your glory. But make sure you're turning down any radio you have on or any stream.
No, it's music blasting out of the Hotel Harrington. So I'm going to turn you over to Rush Kent Monster, who put Santa Cruz on the map, Occupy Santa Cruz, and let him talk to you while I go talk to the waitress to try to get her to turn this blare down.
Yeah, I can actually hear everything you're saying, so don't.
Hey, Robert, how's it going, man?
That worry you. Hey, Rush, how's it going there? You're in the nation's capital, I understand.
Yes, I am.
Well, was it worth all the money that got delegated to send two delegates all the way across the country? I could have bought plenty of tents for Occupy Santa Cruz, you know.
Yes, I do believe that we've done a good job representing Santa Cruz. Everybody out here is in love with Tent Monster.
Now tell us what Tent Monster is, Rush, for those who don't know.
I started Tent Monster out of solidarity with all, Melbourne, Australia. In Melbourne, they had about 20 people in tents, and they put holes in them and made them costumes. And they were messing with the police every day, jumping up when the police would come and move them from their tents. And so they started doing Tent Monsters. And about 5 days into that, the fifth day, the cops came in and they were ripping the tents off of everybody, and they ripped off one of the tents of this woman. I forget her name, but she was naked underneath, and they just basically, it was really bad. So the day that I saw that video, somebody gave me a tent. They offered me a tent for $3, and I thought, perfect chance for me.
Wait
to
a minute, I remember. Hold it, just a second. You bought that tent out from under me. I was trying to buy that tent, as I remember.
That's right.
You dirty rat. Fine.
So thanks to Robert Norris, Tent Monster is alive.
Well, there you go. I'm glad that the monster got the tent, frankly. I know that when there was a reoccupy in Santa Cruz on the 17th of December, or an attempted reoccupy, Tent Monster rose again, yeah?
Yes, he did, and he was in Oakland and made a big press there, and while we were here, I'd made big press with him again. Everyone likes him because he shows a few different points in the movement. Like, I do the homeless thing with the tent, and also on, as the Tent Monster, tomorrow, actually, when we shut down the courts, I'm going to have new messages on my tent because Tent Monster is under reconstruction right now. I painted them blue, white, and red. And he has writing on each side of them. One side is representing equality. One side is representing corporate greed. Another one is representing education. And then the other side, it's the front side, it says Occupy Everything.
Don't you think... go ahead, I'm sorry.
And then it will be saying in solidarity with Melbourne, Australia in the front of it.
Well, you know, I think you don't want to leave out the brilliant local city and county officials of Santa Cruz who have done their best.
There will be Santa Cruz on the tent.
I mean, we want to make sure that, you know, people like I don't know, Craig Wilson and Susan Mariello, the chief administrative officer, and Chief Vogel get the proper share of attention that they deserve nationally for their success in destroying the menace of the Tent Monster, right?
Right.
I think it would be appropriate to have a little national media where Chief Vogel gets the due praise he deserves for eliminating these unsightly homeless people, the 100 to 200 people who are in the River Street at San Lorenzo campground area on December 8th, and sending them out into the cold, freezing cold here, and the rain, which has just begun in Santa Cruz. How's the weather in D.C.?
Actually, it is fair. It's freezing right now. This is the coldest it's been for the past couple since I've been here. We got here on Sunday evening, and it's been mildly nice. It rained one day, or it rained on Tuesday during the beginning of the day of J-17, and It ended up being good, though. It ended up being good weather. It's been blue skies every morning that I've woken up. So it's been pretty nice. Tonight's supposed to rain and possibly snow, so we'll see what happens.
You're undercover, right? You guys are staying in somebody's plush home instead of freezing your asses off in some tent downtown with the poor people?
Gail, mother-in-law, or...
Gail's sister-in-law
gave us, she has a house that we're staying at right now. But Kim and myself have camped at McPherson Square for a night or two ourselves.
Tell me about that.
And they actually have two camps here in Washington, D.C. You have McPherson Square, and then you also have Freedom Plaza. Freedom Plaza, everyone is telling me, is the older folks that have been protesting for years and have a little, I guess, older, wiser mentality towards the whole Occupy movement. And then the McPherson Square is a little just the younger crowd, and they're more loud when they come do actions and stuff. So, but they do come together and they fight. I mean, they go and march together. Like tomorrow, we're meeting at McPherson and then going to Freedom. And from Freedom, we're marching to the Supreme Court, and we're going to shut down the Supreme Court tomorrow. And so they come together when they need to. I don't know all the details of why they have, you know, the two split camps, but it works for them. So, you know, but when they do action, they come together and make it big.
So the Supreme Court is actually open tomorrow. I guess it would be. It's a Friday. I mean, what's the schedule? Are you going to stalk into the chambers and chat with the weirdos in black robes?
Right now, I am not 100% sure because they did not have all the info on the info table today for tomorrow. We have more info for Saturday's actions, which on Saturday we will be going to 17th Street, and then we're going to march in front of the White House for a little bit, and then we're going to Bank of America, and we're going to protest at Bank of America for a while, and that is on Saturday.
And this is what you're talking: several hundred, several thousand, several hundred thousand.
It could be a couple. I'd say it's going to be a couple hundred. From what I hear today, there was an action today at the Hilton Hotel. It was a mayor's convention for all the mayors in the United States to show up. I believe Mayor Kwan tried to sneak out of the hotel today, and
she's the mayor of Oakland.
Yes, she is the mayor of Oakland. She snuck out into a taxi. People saw her sneak out, and next thing you know, her taxi is surrounded by about 100 people, from what I'm told. I did not make that today, but her taxi was surrounded by about 100 people for about 5 minutes until the police came, and the police had some struggles. There was some confrontation trying to get the taxi out of the way. But they surrounded her taxi and were banging on her windows and telling them that she had, you know, what happened in Oakland, that she's at fault for that and things like that. So
yeah, I believe that she was the one who allowed the police to rampage in Oakland in October, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So what about Mayor Lane of Santa Cruz? I take it he hasn't shown up there himself?
I could not find if Mayor Lane was even on the list to show up here.
Well, I know Coonerty used to enjoy such trips, but maybe Mayor Lane is, with his modest, simple guy rhetoric about the homeless and also his tendency to do absolutely nothing and leave it to private agencies while passing anti-homeless laws, he needs to, you know, maybe he keeps a low profile, it could be. I don't know. After Friday, are the police just waiting for everybody to go home on Sunday? What's happening?
I have no idea. People have been coming and going.
I mean, are there plans to do a continued winter occupation, or is this a sort of here we are, now we're gone kind of thing?
Well, for me, what do you mean for Occupy DC or for myself?
Well, I was talking about, for you, sure, but I was more interested in the general bunch of folks. I know that you as an individual may have your own plans, but...
Myself, unfortunately, I'm going to have to stay here until the 1st of February due to a court date that I have to go to now.
And what have you been busted for?
This is outside of Occupy Santa Cruz. I am not bringing Occupy Santa Cruz into this. This is a personal thing. When I wake up in the morning, I always smoke myself a bowl.
Oh, you criminal, you.
Yes, but I smoke weed every morning. Everybody that knows me knows this, and I really don't care about, I care about the laws and stuff, but I was inside my tent. I smoked a bowl like I always do every morning, and a cop walked by past my tent and smelt it, and... Yeah, so I got busted.
So old Big Nose busted you, eh?
What's that?
Big Nose busted you, so to speak?
Yeah. Yes, they did bust me, and I was honest about it. I was just like, I didn't want any trouble, so I did it, and I was charged with possession of marijuana and possession of paraphernalia, which is my marijuana pipe.
Were you taken to jail?
What's that?
Were you taken to jail, or...?
Yes, I was taken to jail. I was taken to jail for a few hours. I was out of jail. I went into jail, I'd say, about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was out by 2 p.m.
Bail or O.R.?
What's that?
Bailed or O.R.'d?
O.R.'d. It was just a ticket. It was a ticket. But the problem is that they're okay. They were fine that, that I had my medical marijuana card. That was the first thing they asked me. Do you have your medical marijuana card? Because this is where, if you don't have it, it's going to be charged more. But since I have it, they're a little more lenient. But at the same time, they cannot use my they don't recognize my medical marijuana card because of the fact that I was on federal property.
Well,
federal property.
Your health does change as you move from state to state, and onto federal property. So it could be you became completely healthy and not in need of any kind of medical marijuana in Washington. Hence, you were a fraud and certainly a criminal.
Right, but I'm okay with that, and it is what it is. I kind of knew that it would happen if it did happen, and I'm an adult. I can handle that type of thing. I was out on time to do action that day and support Santa Cruz. We had a big banner saying Occupy Santa Cruz on it, walking with the march. Tent Monster was right next to that. We had a lot of people taking pictures of all of us. I've been trying to find pictures from of that banner, but I have not been able to do so. I do have some of myself up there on the DC trip on Facebook.
And so if people want to actually check out this further, you can go to Facebook's DC trip. Is there more to it than DC trip?
Yes, it's just go to Facebook and search Capital. You need to put Capital DC space and then lower case trip. It's a DC trip at facebook.com. You can add us as a friend. We'll add you as soon as we can. We do have information of what's going on here. We did have that day was very crazy. We don't have a lot of technical things with us, so when we do get online, we just ask everyone to be patient, that we are trying to get that information out there as quick as possible.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Rush, I'm looking at it now. It's got Maria Stark on. It's got Kim with an Occupy Earth sign. It's got,
right.
It's got some, some notes and messages and also some messages from local Santa Cruzans reacting. And I guess, again, getting back to that earlier question, do people tend to stay in D.C., or are they going to, head back to their, comfy homes or uncomfy boroughs, wherever they happen to be?
A lot of them that I've run into, there's a lot from California. There's Oakland's here, San Francisco's here, Santa Cruz, L.A., San Diego. But a lot of them are leaving after tomorrow, and then there are others that are staying for a couple weeks. A lot of people, there's people from all over. There's Portland's here, Dallas, Austin, El Paso. I mean, we have a lot of major cities out here, which is really good, and a lot of them plan on staying for a few extra days and see what happens, I guess.
Well, I know I was critical of the idea of spending money from Occupy Santa Cruz for this transportation, but I also know that there were some who felt that it was simply an attempt to get more people together in one place to raise the issue, and it certainly must feel good to have a bunch of people together. No, I felt good up in Oakland when I was doing the port walk, although I felt pretty damn tired
as
well.
Yeah, it felt really good.
But, you know, I guess the question arises, you know, what is coming out of this, as far as you can say? Is it there's a cynical, weary side of me that thinks, you know, oh boy, they all came to town, now they're all going to leave. But that doesn't mean that they didn't do something while they were there.
Well, there's a few things that happened. I mean, you had this stupid person that threw the smoke bomb onto the White House lawn. That was ridiculous. I reread the Santa Cruz Sentinel the next day, actually, and the Santa Cruz Sentinel, I don't think they wrote that. I think it was from another paper. But they were saying that there was, they had the crowd be dispersed and the cops were out and that they brought out robots and all this and that. None of that stuff happened. There were more people than they said there were. Kim actually went up to a cop and after the smoke bomb hit the White House lawn and said, "Is everything okay?" And the cop said, "Yes, everything's fine. It's just someone was being stupid." And they didn't make anyone disperse, nothing.
I got to tell you, Russ, I don't have a lot of concern about smoke bombs when Obama's dropping heavy drones, real bombs, you know, and murdering people abroad in great numbers while, you know, you guys are apologizing for smoke bombs. I mean, I think to me that shows, unfortunately, the limits of this kind of protest, that people are more concerned with the image of, no, we don't want it to look disruptive or violent. Certainly not. Let's make our symbolic protest and then go home.
That was an individual's. I mean, that was one individual that did that and ruined it for everybody. Everybody a bad time.
Why was anything ruined? I don't understand. I mean, why?
We got bad press. I believe leading up to that moment, that whole day was very good here in D.C. And then that moment happened, and all the press just turned very negative. Because of that incident.
Yeah, it seems to me that if that's the case, it would show that the press wants to be negative and that they're going to find something one way or another, ignoring the 99% of what's happening for the 1% of something that they can focus on. They can say, be afraid, be very afraid. And that, to me, isn't something that you should really concern yourselves with. I mean, I wouldn't concern myself with it. I would try to, you know, say, okay, let's talk about the issues of what's really going on here. And I think you guys are, to some extent, doing that. You know, so.
Yes, and we know Kim actually went up to Congressman Sam Farr's office and wrote him a letter, and hopefully he will contact her. But he was unavailable that day when we went and occupied Congress.
You know, Congress can be occupied in Santa Cruz, and so can Sam Farr's office. And I don't mean with a letter. I mean with 50 people is what I mean.
Right. Definitely do that. Yeah,
but we didn't. You know, that's what's interesting. Instead, people are running around in symbolic protests. That's what's bothering me. Here and there, or not doing anything. And I got to admit, you know, I'm as guilty of that as anyone else. You know, I mean, but, you know, it's... I guess I get the feeling, though, that there are folks who are ready to do more, you know, to be able to, you know, take actions to another level where there is a strong determination not just to make a good story for the media and leave, although I've got nothing wrong with good stories. I like good stories.
Right.
But to actually, I mean, we have an unconstitutional curfew here in Santa Cruz. We have a violent, murderous series of wars going on around the globe. We have all the stuff that you know about because, you know, and I think everybody who's listening knows about, but instead people are worrying about, you know, not offending the police and the media.
Right, I feel you.
So anyway, what's what stuck out most about this for you? Or are there other people there who want to say something or shout out to Santa Cruz? Because I think some people are probably listening to this broadcast, and we have a small listenership at least. So.
Yeah. Kim, you want to say something?
Yes, Kim would like to say something. She's going to come and grab the phone for me here in a second here.
Hey, Russ.
But yeah, we're having a good time, and I thank everybody from Santa Cruz for sending us out here, for letting us represent, be partial representatives of Santa Cruz here in D.C., because we've learned a lot since we've been here with a lot of different things, how they run things with to Occupy, and maybe we can come back to Santa Cruz and take some of the things we've learned here and put it into Occupy.
That would interest me to know what it is you've learned, because that might be something concrete. I mean, it's nice to say you've learned things, but maybe you could tell me when you get back, or you can tell me after Kim speaks. So what do you have?
Yeah, I could definitely give you some more things when we get back. Yes.
Okay. Sounds good.
All righty. So I'm going to pass you off to Kim, and I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, we love you, Santa Cruz.
Hey, man. Thank you. We're talking with Occupy Santa Cruz people who are basking in the freezing weather in Washington, D.C. Is that you, Kim? Are you there?
This is me. Hello.
Hey, Kim. I see you got photos on the Facebook holding some sign about Occupy something.
Occupy Earth?
Yes, that's it. Occupy Earth.
Oh, yeah. That was actually in the congressional office's courtyard.
Uh-huh.
And one rule I was told before entering the building was no signs. Why that is, I'm not sure, as it is protected by our First Amendment rights. I really don't know why there were no signs allowed, so I brought my sign in, and I decided to take a picture of that and post it on the Facebook. So,
did you take a picture of the sign that said no signs?
No. I didn't actually see a sign that said that. I just heard it verbally from the people who were at the front when we had to get our bags checked and all that stuff.
Oh, it's sort of like what the scare tactics used by the deputies on the first or second night that Occupy Santa Cruz showed up. Oh, you're not allowed to be here at night, which, of course, Occupy Santa Cruz defied for 2 months until Susan Mariello and the deputies presented them with a curfew and, of course, have moved people away, although not entirely, from the Santa Cruz courthouse at night in violation of the Constitution and traditional Santa Cruz practices here. Well, tell me more about, Rush said he'd learned some stuff from what's been going on there. You learned anything that you want to put out to us here in, faraway Santa Cruz?
I guess one thing I think is pretty cool about, there's actually two camps here. That's not the cool part to me, but one of the camps has certain regulations, and they actually have been following them. How they do it is a little unorthodox, in my opinion. I don't feel they actually physically remove people if they were smoking marijuana or drinking alcohol on the premises or being belligerent, or, the list of rules. But I don't like the way they handle it necessarily, but I do like that there is accountability being held. So people who are continuously causing problems for the entire occupation are no longer allowed to be there. However, at the other camp, there is a woman who overdosed on alcohol the other day, and police came, the ambulance came, and nothing happened, basically. They didn't kick her out, she drinks alcohol every day, and I wouldn't necessarily want to kick her out. I would want to get this woman help, but not have it able for someone to be continuously discrediting the movement like that, because she does cause problems while drinking a lot.
Well, we had that situation in small part at different places around Occupy Santa Cruz, and part of the solution to that was people, did what they needed to do, and problems were resolved on a kind of an ad hoc basis as folks went along. And people who, had some people said, oh, these are horrible things, they'll never be good, Patrick is going to disrupt this and disrupt that, and, a squirrel is, incredibly violent and all these things. In fact, they were resolved, and people kind of slightly, you know, they modified their behavior not out of threats, but after, you know, long dialogue and discussion and new circumstances arose. So this idea that a set of rules is necessary in some way and is going to, you know, only if you follow all these rules, everything's going to be fine, is, to me, it's an old kind of way, somewhat similar to the bogus institutional structures we've had in the past that don't work. But, you know, this is your minute. I'll shut up and you talk about what's going on. What do you want to tell us more about the wonderful D.C. scene and why it's worth all this money to go to D.C. and what wonderful things are being learned and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, actually, one of the best things about being here is the networking. There were about over 1,000 people, I would say, on January 17th, and I was part of the live stream meeting the night before, so I met about all the live streamers from different occupations and got their contact information. I also have a bunch of people's information from legal teams, including the top four legal teams, which is, I believe, D.C., New York, South Carolina, and I am blanking on the last one right now. But, yeah, we're just getting a lot of good networking done and getting good videos and stuff like that because it's obviously not so much in the public media. We have to kind of do this footwork on our own. So I really want to show everyone what's actually going on. And
You know, I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
No problem. And just get the information out there.
I mean, that's encouraging, you know, because I know that I today called Philip Crawford, who's National Lawyers Guild guy down here. We're trying to get help getting an injunction against the curfew at the courthouse in Santa Cruz. And he's, you know, he still can't seem to find a lawyer who wants to do it. And he can't seem to find lawyers. He's found one, Carol Sobel in Los Angeles, who's done something in the past. But, you know, I'm sure that there are injunctions against Occupy movements all over the country, and if you can get people who know something about fighting these injunctions in places where even if the legal fight hasn't been successful, it has been tried, and we can, you know, we don't have to, you know, reinvent what they did, but just do it ourselves again, that would be helpful, and that's a great idea. I think, you know, we need those tools. I mean, here in Santa Cruz, I wasn't at the meeting last night. There was a resource center for inaction. They call themselves nonviolence meeting. Forgive me for my sarcasm. That's my trademark, I suppose, in that respect. You know, we had a bunch of people from Occupy, some of them very militant, who, and this was a criticism leveled by Steve Plaich later, which was that they weren't interested in bringing in things back to a general assembly, but they were simply starting working in new ways on affinity groups that had nothing to do with the, you know, the decision-making process that Occupy movements throughout the country were doing, which may be fine, because I'm glad to see people do whatever they can to fight corporate power, but the problem with those kinds of movements in the past has been, and I'm glad I'm thinking they should keep doing it, is they get co-opted. Because they tend to, you know, hanker after power. Oh, if I can just go into and have Congressman Farr write a letter back to me for my letter, that's somehow going to mean something, you know? Forgive me for putting it that way, because I know you did put in energy to do that. And I'm glad you're concerned about that. I'd like to see people, I mean, people should have stormed Farr's office here months ago, frankly, because he's right in the same building. He's right around the corner from Occupy Santa Cruz. But, you know, I didn't recommend it. Nobody else recommended it, so I don't know what I'm grousing about, but I like to grouse. So there you go.
Right.
So
yeah.
Go ahead.
And I just ended up writing him a letter because I wanted to talk to him, and then after putting in the energy of getting into his office, I figured I might as well write a letter and see if I can communicate at all. And I know it's probably completely... well, useless, but it's worth a shot, and at least I can maybe pick his brain a little bit and see what kind of things are going on and what kind of person he is. But maybe not. Who knows?
I mean, talk is talk.
Anyone could do it.
The way we got to Farr, you know, 10 years ago and before that was we all walked into his office and sat down and said, we're not going to leave until we talk to you. And eventually we got, you know, some discussion. He wouldn't talk about issues like opposing the Iraqi war before it started. He wouldn't talk about issues 3 years before that, like stopping the bombing of Kosovo. But he did start paying attention when, you know, massive numbers of people sat in and wouldn't leave. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that doesn't mean you shouldn't write a letter, you know, necessarily. It's just I would love to encourage, I would like to see, particularly when you have such large numbers of people, who have put in time and energy to come to Washington, you know.
Yeah.
What's coming up next for you that you're looking forward to doing there?
Well, actually,
if anything,
I am getting, like I said, the legal contact information. So tomorrow I'm going to try to track down Jeff, who is the representative for Washington, D.C. And I've been getting a lot of hearsay saying that he would possibly be willing to help out Santa Cruz pro bono and do some civil rights work. And in Washington, D.C., they're allowed to have an occupation. They're the city or county, and actually there's like 10 million types of law enforcement here. There's park rangers who have federal jurisdiction and Secret Service. It's crazy. It's crawling with police. But anyways, I'm starting to forget what I was talking about. I was talking about so many cops. But he said that, or the reason the camps are currently allowed to be there legally is because it's claimed a 24-hour vigil. So, I don't know, maybe we can look into that too. But when I get back to Santa Cruz, I'm going to link up with the legal team and combine resources and see if we can get possibly even a national, like, to sue the United States on a national level from the occupiers of the United States. And that way, in hopes to get less police brutality, less pressure, less encampments removed, and just like overall terrible treatment. You know, I mean, where is our customer service? For goodness sakes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the more people that show up, the less the deputies in Santa Cruz want to deal with the issue. And that, to me,
right,
is, instead of, you know, letters to FAR or even legal discussions about getting an injunction and going through their court system, because that's what it is having enough people there to say, it's a right to be here 24 hours. We're not bothering anybody. Yeah, start arresting us, and we'll start, and then start trying us one by one, and see how far you get with that. If you have enough people to do it, they don't do it because they know they it would cripple their court system to do it. So they don't want to do that. But of course, we never reached that point where we were able to. Well, we did reach that point. We had the Octodome, you know, or the Occudome.
Yes.
And we had, you know, it went on. People insisted, and it grew. But then, of course, when it was swept away, people didn't come back. That was why, perhaps, you know, part of it was the weather. Part of it was, you know, there was some dissension about, you know, it's all about camping and the homeless and all that sort of thing. What about that issue? Has that become an issue at all? Or just, how much are the homeless a part of these protests in Washington?
I actually haven't noticed too many homeless or, yeah, people involved in the occupations even, or the protests. Huh. To my knowledge. But then again, I can't tell by physically looking at someone if they're homeless or if they're an occupier or one and the same. You know, I haven't necessarily had. I guess for right now, that most of the people at the occupations are from all over. So
from all over,
I haven't,
generally,
yeah, they just say they're from a different city, from a different occupation, but
they generally,
who knows if they're homeless or not, you know, I mean, Rush and I are both currently homeless, but I'm not sure about the other people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering, I mean, you two are, you know, maybe, and maybe this is happening elsewhere, you know, local occupies, I mean, do we know how many occupies are actually funding people to come to this thing?
I think a lot of people they got help in funding. Also, they were doing WePay accounts is one of the most popular ways I heard for people getting here. On the East Coast, there were actually OccuBuses for occupiers. They would pick you up if you had a large enough group at your Occupy. San Diego got funding, I believe, and did you hear about them? They took a bus.
Yeah, I heard about that.
People.
For those who don't know, it's online.
Okay.
You know, they were stopped in Texas, and the bus driver got all cranky and feisty and essentially kidnapped everybody and held them. You know, couldn't get off the bus. Somebody should, of course, be trying the bus driver instead of, harassing the passengers. But this is America. We don't want to forget.
So we call them the Armadillo 13, and then Anonymous sent them pizza, I guess, after that happened.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But I wanted to say at least, like, just one more thing on the event on the 17th, Occupy Congress Day. That was really fun. Going in the congressional office was fun just because I felt like I shouldn't have been there because of my outfit, and then looking at the attire of all the professionals in the building, it was just very liberating to be in that building and feel out of place. I don't know what it was about it, but it was after that event, at the nighttime event in front of the White House. You did hear about the smoke bomb, the stink bomb that went off, correct?
Yeah, I did, and I don't really. I talked to Rush about it. I think it's like, you know, when they're dropping cluster bombs overseas, I don't really give a shit about a stink bomb at the White House. And frankly, I might think a few more stink bombs might be a fine idea whenever Obama or any of these other Republican candidates appear. I mean, you know, tar and feathers was used regularly in the American Revolution against tax collectors. However, that doesn't go over well with the nonviolent crowd, and I also am ambivalent about it, too. So go ahead.
Right. Well, basically, I'm a peace studies major, and what I've learned in my classes is that generally, when you see behaviors like that, it's very possible that it could have been an agent provocateur, COINTELPRO, essentially someone that a government agency possibly sent out to undermine or infiltrate the movement. And that has happened numerous times over history, and that's naturally all the public media will cover. But no riot police were sent out after that. And there were rumors that that was going to happen. I actually spoke to a police officer to verify that they were not, and that everything we were doing was legal and legitimate, and that no one would be physically hurt, and they verified that. So in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, they posted a thing saying, as hundreds of occupiers gathered in front of the White House, first of all, it was about 1,000, and secondly, they mentioned that there was the smoke bomb, but then they said that police dispersed the crowd. And there was maybe 10 police standing outside and just keeping an eye out, but never told the crowds to leave. We did continue the march. That was like the halfway point, and then left after that, shortly after, but probably at least a half an hour to 45 minutes. So I just wanted to verify that for anyone who had read the Santa Cruz Sentinel or who really disagrees with the smoke bomb. I mean, I personally don't think it's a good idea. Didn't think it was a good idea. A lot of people ran thinking it was tear gas.
I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the smoke bomb that the media probably has spent far too much time talking. I'd rather talk about what you saw that encouraged you and you think will lead to further change rather than the stuff the media likes to pick on that, frankly, you know, as I said, they tarred and feathered tax collectors. And, yeah, it might have been an agent provocateur, or it might have been somebody who was really pissed. I don't know. And I don't care, really. I care about, you know, what's coming next out of this, I guess, is my concern. And, you know, you're kind of, you know, on the cutting edge. You're out there. You've been doing this for how long now?
Occupying entirely a little bit over, I believe, like a little over three months. Maybe 3.5.
Mm-hmm. And you've been spending time camping illegally outside?
Yes. And I was at a foreclosed home right before the D.C. trip. I'm still camping illegally outside. And when I get back, I might camp a little bit more, but then I'll be moving into a place. But, and we came over here without a way to get back. I'm still working on that. So, yeah, we like to
Let me
live
see
on the edge, I guess.
We're talking with Kim and Rush in D.C. with Occupy Santa Cruz, not as representatives, but as individuals who were funded,
exactly,
however, by the General Assembly against my better judgment. But nonetheless, you know, here we are. There's a number that folks can try to call in on. I don't know if it can work, but if people want to try calling 469-3119, 469-3119, if they have any comments or thoughts or questions for you, Kim, or for Rush or for Gail or for Abby, whoever's there, you know, maybe they can put them to you.
Yeah.
Let's see if anybody is going to call in. Maybe I don't even know if this line is going to work in this situation. Sometimes it seems to work, and other times it doesn't.
So can I ask you a question, Robert?
Sure.
Did you say that you disagreed with the funding?
You know, yes, I thought afterward the next day that the idea of funding people to go to a symbolic event that would last a week and then essentially, you know, could be better spent with, you know, funding a reoccupation, funding jail support for people. That was my thought, but, you know, that's just my opinion.
Right, and do you currently still hold that opinion?
Well, I don't know. That's one of the reasons I'm talking to you. I'm trying to see what's... I mean, you probably hear a somewhat skeptical tone in my voice about the whole Occupy D.C. stuff, although I'm always... You know, big protests in Washington are not a bad thing. You know, they're a good thing. And, you know, your courage in holding up a sign in an area where you're told you can't hold up signs here is, you know, is a good thing, too. And confronting people who are, you know... not going to pay any attention, but who should be paying attention and who, you know, in modeling for people is also a good thing. And so I'm, you know, I'm ambivalent. I don't know. That's sort of my position. I'm sorry to be so murky.
Okay.
Not very helpful for you, perhaps, but, you know, I mean, I'm glad you're picking up stuff, contacts. I'm glad you're, you know, having a good experience there. I'm glad that you're, you know, but I'm just wondering what's next. And because I see here in Santa Cruz, people are getting into little discussion groups in the Resource Center for Nonviolence that are now going to meet on a weekly basis, but that aren't going to, you know, reoccupy. There's nothing about that happening.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was not at that meeting. I just got a secondhand report. Hopefully I'll get a better and clearer report from other people who may be listening. Call in if you want, 469-3119. Talk to, you know, talk to Kim and talk to me and talk to the world out there. 469-3119. So, you know, there were 100 people at this group, or 60 to 100 people. They all broke up into discussion groups and chatted and, you know, but to me, I don't know. You know, I mean, is there a forward surge of movement along the way you want to go, or is this a, you know, turning into a chit chat session? It's hard for me to tell. I don't know. So I know that.
Yeah,
I guess, go ahead.
Well, personally, I've been pushing the idea of reoccupation since at least the 17th of last month. I remember that night I actually tried to reoccupy. You know, we decided. We did have a straw poll on basically a mobile GA or mobile occupation. Anytime the law enforcement told us to move, we would move, and we did, and we didn't sleep. And I slept for an hour that morning, early morning, and many of the people who voted either way or in the straw poll, not a consented vote.
I remember. I kept getting
woken up. They weren't
there. I kept getting woken up.
I've been discouraged. You know, I've been...
Yeah,
I
hear you.
I've wanted to be reoccupying. So I was occupying the foreclosed home, which it was great. And I think that could be a good idea to get a lot of foreclosed homes and get different people out of each one and then get together in solidarity when they actually try to evict and bring attention to the media, do a press release, and... just put a lot of pressure on the banks
Is that happening in Washington? Do you know, Kim? Have you got any input on whether foreclosed homes are being occupied there?
I have not heard anything about that so far in Washington. I can talk to people tomorrow and ask if they have any foreclosed homes. So far, I believe only a few states are doing it, a few cities. But I could be wrong, you know. That could be unannounced or... I just haven't heard yet. So
Yeah.
I'm not positive.
I mean, I know the night of the reoccupation protests in Santa Cruz on the 17th of December, I was, you know, every hour, Mike, Bike Lock Bob, as I call him, was waking me up with a report, and I eventually put a report onto, you know, the Indy Bay about it. And I'm, you know, and you guys are out there freezing your asses off and getting chased around by the cops, and I was, you know, nice warm bed.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, I was getting up every hour and making notes and all that. So I guess, you know, I served a certain function. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what will encourage people to take the steps that seem to be, you know, I would, there's not one way to go. There are many roads, I would think. But I'm worried that there's also many non-roads as well. If you know what I mean.
You know, yeah, I'm just trying to stay positive with this, and I really think that we can have an occupation. How we can try to talk people into this, I'm not sure, but I feel like if we're going to call ourselves Occupy, I'm allowed to cuss on this place, right?
Of course, you can say fuck or piss or poo-poo, whatever
good,
you like.
Good, good, good. Then we better fucking occupy, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
We better fucking occupy. I mean, how are we calling ourselves Occupy? Okay, we're taking a break right now, you know, and I'm so willing to get my ass in this freezing cold at least four nights a week, and like a week, this upcoming week when I'll be a full-time student, I can still get down there, you know, and shift, you know, we don't have to always come out every night if you can't make it, but this, I know people have the dedication and the determination. I've met the people at Occupy, and they're fucking amazing. They have so much to offer, and they're great with each other, you know, and they have so much knowledge, and I think we can do this. I hope it happens shortly after I get back, and maybe I'll just have to start getting people together and saying, okay, I'm camping. If you'd like to come to jail with me, I'd love to have you, and just keep going to jail until they get the courts fixed and get our rights back.
You know, until they're shamed into changing it or frightened into changing it, back, you know, respecting the Constitution or respecting the will of the people as it's being expressed. We're talking with Kim and with Rush.
Tell her to come in here.
And who knows, maybe some other folks there in Washington, D.C. who are going to be occupying the courts tomorrow. So that is to say, they're not going to be occupying. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Is anybody going to actually occupy the courts, or is that another one of those nice little taglines that's being used by advertising geniuses to prey off of what Occupy actually did do, but it isn't doing tomorrow? Is there going to be by Occupy the courts, what does that mean? Does that mean walk in front of the courts with little signs and then go home? I mean, I'm sorry. Forgive me. What does it mean?
I believe there's going to be an all-day demonstration and marches and stuff like that. And
that's good,
probably. Quite a bunch of signs, also events. It should be good tomorrow. Abby has a Ustream up, so if you follow that will be good. We have the link on our Facebook page I'll say the link to right now for all the live streams. It's J17 Live. .org, that's all the links for the live streams that were used on the 17th. I'm assuming that a lot of those live streams will be up on the 20th as well.
Is that going to be archived, you know?
I'm sorry?
Will that be archived?
Will it,
you know, stay there later days down the road, or is it just a live stream that'll come and go?
It depends. It'll probably be different. It's a bunch of different live streams, so a lot of people will probably be in and out of them. But it has a list of a bunch of them.
Okay.
So if it's not up, there will be one that is up.
So, again, if anybody wants to call in, our number here is 469. I hope we can get in. Maybe we'll catch calls after we've hung up on you and you've got, you know, we'll get people talking about it afterward. But the number to try right now, in case you want to ask any questions of Kim, is 469-3119, 469-3119. Maybe give her a shout-out. Maybe commend her for standing up to the grilling that I'm giving her here on the air.
No.
You know.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Actually, Gail has some stuff to say.
Fair enough. Let's let Gail have her 2 cents.
Here's Gail.
Thank you, Kim.
Robert. This is Gail.
Hey, Gail.
I'd like you to tell all your listeners out there that Rush, Kent Monster Sheridan, and Kent had a hard time getting out here to D.C., and they really need help getting back home. So we're going to try to set up a WePal account tonight. It's Occupy Kent Monster Rush. It's Rush's Facebook page. So hopefully we'll get that up tonight, and maybe people can help them get back home to Santa Cruz.
So we're talking we're talking Occupy Tent Monster Rush is the site to go to?
That's his Facebook page, and we're going to go to WePal tonight to try to set up an account for WePay for anybody who would like to help Rush get back to Santa Cruz and Kim. And by the way, the Tent Monster was so inspiring, marching up and down from the Capitol lawn to occupying the Supreme Court on Tuesday night. Very well photographed, and I'm sure you can find him on YouTube or live streaming.
Well, I know that there was an interview that Abby put up on the Facebook page for Occupy Santa Cruz, and that's a good place, by the way, listeners, for people to go if they want to follow some of this, Occupy Santa Cruz. Also, as you mentioned, Gail, Occupy Tent Monster Rush apparently is Rush's Facebook page, and if you want to help these two get back from the bowels of the you know, the nation up there in, you know, Washington, D.C., to the, you know, the sticks here in Santa Cruz, check it out. You know, Occupy Tent Monster Rush on Facebook. I guess, what, by tomorrow when you may have some kind of an account set up, right?
Late tonight, we'll try to set up a WePay account for them. They are desperately asking everybody at Freedom Plaza and at McPherson, Occupy D.C., for the last couple of days, trying to get a ride back home. But I think they're probably going to need help getting a Greyhound back home.
Uh-huh.
So anything people can do in Santa Cruz to help them, they are very deserving, and they have well represented our town.
I gotcha. Any signs of homeless activism in D.C. that you've seen, Gail?
Oh, there's a lot. McPherson Square is huge, and Freedom Plaza also.
And that's where homeless people are actually camping, or do they not allow you to camp?
Well, McPherson Square does not have a permit to be there, but they've not closed them down. There was talk that last Friday, when I got here last week, last Friday, we thought the police were going to come and take the camp down, which has been there since October or longer, I'm not sure. And they were waiting to see if Obama would give the word to go ahead and take them down, and I guess he decided not to because they are still there. Now, Freedom Plaza, which started on October 2011, and I was here in D.C. for October 6th, stopped the machine for 4 days when they had a permit. They now have a permanent permit, at least so far, to be at Freedom Plaza, which is between 13th and 14th Street on Pennsylvania. And I encourage everybody to come here whenever they can. There will be an October 30th event.
You don't mean October 30th. Today is.
I'm sorry, March 30th.
Right.
On March 30th, there will be another event that people could start looking up on the internet.
So, all of us want to go 3,000 miles to attend an event. We can all just hop in our planes and zip on out there, that sort of thing. Yeah.
I suggest that you all sign up for Virgin America's flight alerts, which for about $300 round trip, when they have sales and you've done a 7-day advance, you can get from SFO to Dulles. And I think they're not going to shut down Freedom Plaza. Maybe Obama does not want to do that on his watch.
Uh-huh.
And a lot has been done here to keep the police, you know, pacifistic, so to say, at least at Freedom Plaza.
Right, at least while people are watching on this week-long symbolic protest, right?
Exactly. And I suppose that Rush already told you about the mayor's conference.
Yeah,
that
I said that
yesterday.
You know, Karen tried to sneak out, and her car was surrounded for all of 5 minutes. I should remind you that Mario Savio and others surrounded a car was surrounded for 14 hours back in 1964. So I don't know if 5 minutes is a particularly Sorry, you know, I mean, although it was for a wholly different purpose. People surrounded the Savio cart at the University of Berkeley. It wasn't him. It was Jack, what the, I don't know what his last name is, in order to stop
the... I think Mayor Kwan was sufficiently noticed that people are watching.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That people have not forgotten Scott Olson.
Right.
Who was almost killed and who's, you know, still has brain damage.
Did Olson show up at or endorse anything that was going on there or not?
Mayor Kwan?
No. Did Scott Olson show up in Washington, D.C. and give any kind of...
No, but he certainly showed up in Oakland.
Oh, of course.
Last,
I mean, Oakland is actually... Oakland
when
does,
you were there, Robert, I saw you
no,
there
no,
for
Oakland
the West
does
Coast
stuff.
Port.
I'm critical of this whole D.C. thing, because I'm wondering if Olson was supportive of it. That's what I'm asking you, Gail.
Well, I don't know him personally, but certainly a lot
did
of people showed
up
here.
Speak at a
I missed Michael Moore. I guess he showed up.
No, Michael Moore I'm not interested in. Did Olson show up at a mic and say, this is a great idea, let's do it again on March 30th?
I didn't see him, but I have to say there's so much going on that I cannot possibly see everything.
I got you.
I did see several people show up yesterday that I have a lot of respect for. Ben Mansky from Madison, Wisconsin, the Democracy Convention in August in Madison. He's a major mover and shaker in that, and which will take place again in 2 years. I saw David Cobb from Humboldt County, who is
Green Party
move to amend.org, and I highly suggest that everybody look up move to amend.org, because that's the way we're going to change the system in this country. If we get enough people to amend the Constitution, because the Supreme Court's not going to do it.
You must be kidding.
You know how many
people it takes to amend the Constitution? Are you familiar with what that really requires?
Yes, and we have to do it, Robert. Because those Bible men on the Supreme Court are not going to die soon enough. They're going to live 15 to 20 more years.
Gail, we have to change the situation. We don't have to sit around waiting until we get three-quarters of the conventions and two-thirds of the Congress to do it. I mean, that's ridiculous. To me, that's absurd. I agree.
Every county, every state should be passing things that take away personhood from corporations, and they can do that, and they will have to do it because we cannot count on the Supreme Court.
The idea of giving up your authority to this whole process in the hope that it's going to change is ridiculous to me. But I understand. I agree with you that the objective is a laudable one. You don't want to wait for, you know, nine old men and women in black robes getting paid absurd salaries to sabotage the Constitution to, you know, do.
Well, our Supreme Court is totally corrupt. Those five men are tied
right,
to corporations.
But so are the Congress, and so is the constitutional convention process that you seem to have some faith in. That's also corrupt. See, that's the whole point of the occupation movement, to me.
The people have to take it away.
That's right. The people,
now,
not the amendment
Robert,
process.
Robert, I have Abby here from
process.
Santa Cruz waiting to speak to you right now. Yes, and here she is.
All righty.
Hi, Robert. I heard the phone might...
Hey, Abby.
...get out of battery, out of juice.
Say that again? I'm sorry.
I'm not sure how much juice the phone has.
Oh, okay.
So
well, we've been
giving
going
you
for
a heads
hour,
up
you know,
on that.
We're doing good. And we can, you know, we've made our... Go ahead, though. Say your thoughts. Let's hear.
Well, it's been a... as far as the trip goes, it's been very eventful. It's been really interesting learning about the different occupations and how they do things here. And really enjoying the people here, and it's really neat to see an occupation, a successful occupation, really, really clean and neat and orderly. So that's my experience as far as that goes.
Yeah.
And the Occupy Congress the other day was pretty, you know, I was disappointed because we were hoping for a lot more people.
Uh-huh.
So, there are probably only, I don't know, 3,000 to 5,000 people. But the news reported it, some news reported it as hundreds, some news, I've seen some reports where they reported it as 1,000 people.
Uh-huh.
But it was way over 1,000.
So what have you seen about, I'm sorry to turn the topic to my favorite topic, but what about the homeless of D.C.? How do they regard this occupational movement? Have you had any conversations with them? Have you seen any discussions or heard anything secondhand? What's with
that? Well, I know that's a big topic in Santa Cruz is homeless, and I think each occupation in each city has their specific issues. In Santa Cruz, homeless is a really big issue. And in my little time I've been here, there are homeless people, definitely. I haven't discussed that. That's not my, mainly what I've seen is a lot of actions in trying to change politics. They're very much, it's Washington.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot of people's energies are focused on that. Well, I can tell you one thing. That they've hardly had any arrests here.
Mm-hmm.
Very limited, very, very, very small amount of arrests.
You mean
the
prior?
The police here are a lot nicer.
You mean prior, Abby, to the actual couple last week's events? For the last few months, there haven't been arrests. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, in the last 2 days, I think there's been more because there's people from outside. That the police are very respectful of the people here. When they were trying to move us out of this area that what we didn't have a permit for in front of the Capitol building, they wanted us on the lawn, on the front of the building, on the west lawn. They didn't want us in the walkway. And they were very polite in the way they moved us over. The people, anyway, when I walked over, because I was on the walkway, when I walked over this little bridge, there was a policeman standing there thanking each person for walking over.
Yeah.
I was kind of in
shock.
Thank
you for abandoning your protest and doing what we say. Doesn't strike me, you know, as something I'm happy with. Polite police who are destroying your rights are, to me, no more, you know, no better than nasty police. Well, I mean, no, they're less violent. I mean, I suppose that's a positive thing. But if they can get you to do what they want you to do and you know, take away from the objective, unfortunately, that's a problem. Maybe this didn't take away from the objective. I don't know.
No, because we still had the lawn, and there are people that wanted to protest, and there was an incident with, you might have seen him on the news, retired police, Captain Ray Lewis. He was there. He did civil disobedience in New York. I think he's from New York or New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
And he was there.
Uh-huh.
And the police wanted to see his ID when he walked over the walkway. And everyone just started yelling at the police. Anyway, he felt very, I talked to Captain Ray Lewis, and they let him go. What he said is, you can wear a police officer's uniform. He was wearing this uniform,
oh, right.
And they wanted to make sure he was.
Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to use our uniforms, for God's sake. I mean, you know.
Well, the law is, according to Captain Ray Lewis, because he knows the law very well.
He
retired.
I did read that story, Abby. So.
Oh, you did read it.
I did.
Okay.
If you don't use
yeah. your authority to try to do something,
right.
Police-like authority, then anyone can wear a police.
Well, I think everybody should dress up as cops and start beating each other up, frankly. That would make an interesting scene.
Would be very interesting. That might be a good action.
I got a roll on you, but, you know, when you get back, I'd love some more reports. Any final words before I, you know, roll
no,
on this?
No, it's wonderful meeting all the different people that you get to see on TV. You get to meet them in person and talk to them, like Jesse LaGreca and Sergeant, I forgot his name, the sergeant that came with was from the Iraq War that was yelling at all the police. So, no, it was really wonderful to get to meet people that you have been watching on TV for so long, some of the famous protesters.
There you go.
Now you're
among the greats. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was a beautiful action, so I'm glad I came. I have no regrets.
I expect hugs and reports when you get back.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
My regards to everybody. I'm going to roll.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye.
And that was an hour and 10 minutes, or at least an hour, with it was four Occupy Santa Cruz folks who went to D.C. and will be presumably doing some actions tomorrow, occupy the courts. Weather is pretty nasty to do actions here, but who knows what's cooking. Maybe if anybody's listening and they have any announcements to be made about Occupy stuff that's going to be coming up tomorrow here in Santa Cruz, they can give me a call here. I'm going to indiebay.org to see if there's any actual announcements that are coming up for Santa Cruz. I don't recall seeing any earlier. Let's see. There's a blues tour. And, there is something that did happen yesterday. I was a part of it briefly. It was the Noise at Noon protest, which we actually did a week ago as well. That's in protest of the incarceration of Gary Johnson. And Alex DeRosi this afternoon put up a photo story about it. He also does a little writing about it. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. But first, your phone calls. Hey there, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert. Danica.
Danica DeFoy, the one-time commentator of KRAP, or whatever the hell that radio station is down in Monterey.
Yeah, KRXB. Definitely not fun.
So, Danica, you're, I don't know, you've been listening to the show, or...
Yeah, I got to listen to the a little bit of the first part of the show, but I'm not listening currently. I just wanted to call in and fulfill my agreements and tell everyone I loved all their work in Washington, because that was awesome.
Uh-huh. Well, at least you're giving them a little positive thumbs up compared to my cranky commentary.
I know. Actually, my mom heard you for the first time. She was listening with me, and she was like, this guy's great. He's so sarcastic. It's funny.
Well, all right. At least somebody's getting amused. You know, one of our listeners did send me an email and say, why don't you get Danica on the air to talk about what's going on at the Monterey radio station where you did have a Friday show, and mm-hmm. you've been either removed or bumped or you're not doing your show as much as you used to. What's the story with that?
Well, it's kind of a genesis, and I'm going to start right now and tell everybody I got canceled, and it was actually 20 minutes before I went to do my show, but it was supposedly in regards to a chat log, which some woman faked, who's kind of been stalking me for the last about a year, and she changed something that I said, and it was very upsetting that the station owner decided to do that, but I was more upset because it's been like a year-long station debacle where first we had this supposedly liberal, which isn't liberal at all, woman named Christine Kraft who came on, and she attacked me for 3 months or something like that because I came out in support of Bradley Manning. And so, unfortunately, that was taken up by another host after she got banned by the station, and this host, I told that if he kept harassing me, I would consider him an enemy. And then he decided that he was going to do a whole show slandering me, this other guy. And then from there, it just snowballed. And it's very unfortunate because the station owner is kind of profiting from this. And not really, I don't think, doing the job that he should be doing. But there's a lot of different issues that I don't know if I'll go into, but it's just...
So,
it's really been a disillusionment. I told one guy it's disillusionment with the paid liberal establishment.
Well, you should obviously come and do a Free Radio Santa Cruz show. Of course, you won't get paid for it. And did you get? This was a paid position you had. And the name of the radio station again is?
KRXA was the former station that I was on. And I just want to clarify that there are some great listeners, and I have some great community members that are just devastated about this. And they've actually had their comments edited. Well, the two people that were stalking me on Facebook, on the webpage, and sometimes at personal events are allowed to post it at the site. And one of the reasons I feel is because one of the women is a personal friend of the owner, even though he is married. But this woman has just been jealous of previous shows that have been on. I've gotten different hosts reporting that their shows have also been bothered by this person. And unfortunately, they've had false accusations that they just didn't even choose to look into, which I thought was ridiculous.
You know, I'm just wondering, I get a lot of shit from people, you know, for, you know, I'm rude, I engage in personal attacks, I'm a supporter of violence, I'm, you know, a wealthy trust fund baby, I'm cranky, I don't know, they're all kinds, I'm a liar, you know, they're all kinds of accusations that get thrown at me, and what I usually tend to do with this stuff is I just, you know, let's get back to the issue, is what I say, because there's no... You know, you got to have a pretty thick skin to understand that there are going to be people who will just throw shit at you. That's just what they do, partially
exactly.
Because, you know, I mean, they get a lot of shit. The society throws a lot of shit at all of us. The, you know, the whole institutional structure that we're in, you don't get paid for the work you do. You don't get the services you need when you're sick. You know, all the whole scene that we're in. And so people respond to that often by attacking each other or kicking the dog. I being the dog and you being the dog in this case. So, you know...
Well, unfortunately, the trolling wasn't dealt with in a normal manner, and a lot of it has to do with the internet generation gap, but I even had to explain to the owner what an internet troll was, and that, yes, online stalking and saying slanderous things on the air were bad. And so having to explain that to someone who claims to have been a former lawyer is, you know, I think that he's obviously got some malicious intent, or he's a moron, and I don't think he's a moron, so...
So you wanted to, as I understand it, the KRXA has a blog, and you wanted to make sure that certain comments that were attacking you were deleted? Is that the story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also, I didn't want all the comments to be deleted. I want there to be a, like... standard for everyone, because what was happening is the people that enjoyed my show are now having their comments pulled and have had their comments edited when Hal's mad at me, but then when he is happy with us, he would just, you know, give you on-air honey. But the Christine Kraft situation started this all because I spoke out for Bradley Manning, and then they've allowed false accusations to go on, which is ridiculous if you have, because this was a chat log, which Hal had the original of, and he could have easily just gone back and read it.
Now, is this still up? I mean, can people, if they want, observe this process if they want it? Can they go and...
Oh, no. No, it's definitely not up, because as soon as I told him that his friend had falsified this information, which is copied and I have on my computer, but as soon as I made that point, it mysteriously disappeared from the website. And the comments made about myself and my family are dangerous, and it is stalking. So at this point, I do have to consider either, well, at the least mediation and probably maybe some legal action.
Now, are your shows, you've been doing a radio show for how long now?
It's been over a year now at KRXA.
And you covered Bradley Manning and you've covered Occupy. Are your shows archived?
I don't have every show that he did, but I did try to get my producer to... do a few, and he was trying to do his best, but he really couldn't keep up with his responsibility as a producer. So that was another unfortunate.
I mean, is there a place people can go to hear some of your shows, or is that not a possibility anymore?
No, he was working on a site for that, but I may put the shows up. I'm just not sure because,
you know, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I'm just kind of disillusioned with the process, but I am going to come back. Everybody keeps asking me when I'm going to come back. I just need probably a break.
Yeah, I know that you're a regular shiverer at the General Assembly Freezy sessions every 6 o'clock weekdays and 2 o'clock Saturdays and Sundays here in Santa Cruz. So you show up, you know, every few sessions to put your thoughts in and be supportive. You don't do anything like podcasts or have any other... I know that, for example, Skidmark Bob, who used to have a show here on Santa Cruz and developed mm-hmm. differences of opinion and burnout, still does his Pop Defect Radio as a podcast and broadcasts it that way. Or I may have that wrong. He has another means of broadcasting other than through the radio.
Yeah, I have had people point that out, and I just was saying that my strategy was trying to get information out to a wide audience to... counteract some of the lies that, you know, Rupert Murdoch and the like put out there.
Right.
And I did focus on, you know, the freedom of information and WikiLeaks and such, but I do think that this has been a situation where I have been allowed to be not only sexually harassed, but trolled, because one of the comments of the guy, you know, Christine Kraft's friend or whatever, he actually was saying, you know, my father passed away, and he said, oh, well, your dad is gone. I don't know what's wrong with your parents. Maybe I should thank you and being all weird like that. And the entire situation has been so unprofessional, and I know that has to do with the fact that the owner just sort of winged it from having, you know, his law school paid for or whatever, but
Don't let them divert you or distract you from the message you want to put out is my general advice in those circumstances to myself and to others, you know. So.
Well, if they take your show, it's pretty easy to do that, and that's what they've done. And also, they've put sports over my show consistently, even though I have a very broad audience, and I brought our online audience from when I started, it was around like 25 to 35 people on Friday nights to upwards to like 75 people. So that right there shows that, you know, I wasn't bombing the station or anything. It was definitely benefiting the station. So
well, I wish
what they've done is lose local shows.
Yeah, I wish you luck, and I hope that you, you know, can, you know, fuck the station. I hope you can find some other means of getting your thoughts out, and I guess I'll see you when I see you, you know, at the next wherever. I haven't been at these general assemblies much either. It's too cold and too wet. It's going to be wet for the next 4 or 5 days, I understand.
But, I know I'm supposed to facilitate on Saturday, so that'll be interesting in the rain.
Oh, boy, bring an umbrella and a nice warm coat.
All right.
Hey, get in touch with me if you want later, and anybody who needs to reach me at home, my number is 423-4833. If you have any thoughts about the show, if you have anything you want to add, give me a call there, 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F.
Okay, thanks so much for having me on, Robert.
Hey, thanks for calling, Danica. Bye-bye. And again, lines continue to be open for the next 35 minutes at 427-3772. 427-FRSC. Again, going to Santa Cruz Indie Media, one of the few places I actually write stuff. You can find a story by Alex DeRosi, OSC, Occupy Santa Cruz, protests incarceration of Gary Johnson with noise demonstrations at the county jail. Now, technically, I don't know if the General Assembly consensed on a noise protest, but I think they did consent on opposing the incarceration of Gary Johnson. Ground Zero Gary, as I call him, for those all you newcomers who don't know, is a guy who's in jail for sleeping on a bench outside the county building in a determined fashion, dramatizing the right of homeless people or the public generally to use public spaces for things they need to do, sleep being a necessary activity to life, particularly important for homeless people. And the county, of course, has recently declared a curfew as of early December to essentially crack down on the Occupy Santa Cruz protests. That's really the only reasonable interpretation of what they did. And so Gary is in jail for, he's actually not in jail for violating the curfew, I think because maybe they're a little nervous about that. He's in jail for 647E, which is the lodging law. He is accused of lodging, that is to say, lying without any bedding, without any structures, without any, you know, no barbecue, no fire, nothing. Sheer political protest with this sign, sleep is not a crime, which, of course, probably might say maybe false advertising since they're proving to him, see, sleep is a crime. So there we're taking you off to jail. Gary, in order to get this issue raised, had to keep coming back, I think, 3 or 4 times, more than that, actually. He was arrested 3 or 4 times. And finally, the last time, they held him, saying, okay, we're going to hold you in jail because you are such a dirty criminal. You won't do what we say. You insist on your rights. We can't have this. And we'll take you into court. And Jay was taken into court on $5,000 bail. He was refused release on his own promise to appear. And he's now sitting in the pokey in Watsonville. Ed Fry visited him a couple days ago. But he commended this noise protest, which was came to the jail last week on Wednesday, and came again yesterday. A small but hearty band of noisemakers with pots, and that's really all that they had. They were banging pots, and sort of that's kind of reminds me of the empty pot protests in Latin America of 20 or 30 years ago that women did in protest of the dictatorship. You might say, well, it's hardly a dictatorship here. I mean, but it is. The curfew never went through any legal process. There's no, you know, the citizenry are not given any vote about whether they should be denied access to their own public buildings at night with protest signs. I mean, it's outrageous to me. Anyway, here's the story on Indy Bay, Occupy Santa Cruz protests incarceration of Gary Johnson with noise demonstrations at county jail. to protest what amounts to the indefinite detention of Gary Johnson, who has been in jail since January 6th after being arrested a fourth time for sleeping at the Santa Cruz County Courthouse in a protest against California's lodging law. Members of Occupy Santa Cruz have been gathering for weekly noise demonstrations at the county jail, demanding that Johnson be released immediately. The January 18th demonstration was the second protest here at the county jail on Wednesdays, and both were organized by the recently formed Occupy Santa Cruz Jail Solidarity Working Group. The small and energetic group of demonstrators stayed at the jail making noise with household pots and pans for an hour, occasionally shouting Free Gary Johnson, as well as a variety of other slogans such as Free the Hostages. And there's photos of these protesters. And there aren't many of them. It looked like there were three or four guys. And you're going to hear my commentary now because I showed up there briefly and did a little reportage and left.
So it is January 18th, 2012, and the racket you hear is a protest in back of the jail, or in front of the women's section. It's about 1 o'clock, and I'm approaching the area where I was actually a week ago. This is becoming a weekly affair, or at least the second week of it. And the protest is around the issue of activist and homeless individual Gary Johnson. Not incarcerated here. He's in Watsonville, but he has declared his support for this protest and feels it encourages others. Whoa! It is loud, I must say. We have three individuals making more noise. It just rattles my teeth.
And you can hear pots banging, of course, but I can tell you it was twice as loud if you were there, so... it was a form of mild torture, I must say, but you need that kind of volume to be heard inside the women's section of the jail, which is where these folks were.
A fourth video documenting this whole situation. And actually, there's another noisemaker has arrived of the female gender. Smoking a cigarette and banging a pot. It's a pot party, so to speak. So we had one woman who showed up with her own pot and her own noisemaker. Looked like she came from one of the adjoining apartments or at least one of the side streets. And then she took off again after being here briefly, doing a little dancing around and pounding. And we have the three main noisemakers, Bike Lock Bob, Tough It Out Tom, and of course Cut Loose Casey, doing their things here in back of the women's section of the Santa Cruz County Jail, which does have the sign, as I mentioned, actually Ed Fry mentioned it last week, unauthorized communication with jail inmates is unlawful. Penal Code Section 4570. We have a video journalist who is documenting this entire situation. Alex, what do you make of this protest? Are your ears going to survive?
No, I'm used to it. I've been to a lot of concerts.
There are only three people with pots and pans, but they're making a hell of a lot of noise.
Totally spirited. This is one of the better noise demos considering the amount of people here.
Now, how long have they been doing this? I just arrived about 5 minutes ago.
I'd say about 15 minutes prior to your arrival, they've been making noise, and there was one reinteraction with the sheriffs as well.
How did that go?
It went well. They left. The sheriffs left.
How many sheriffs were there?
One at first, and then another came and told her to leave and get back inside.
Did they bring pots and pans to join the protest?
No, just handcuffs.
I see. But they didn't use them.
No, I guess the handcuffs are hard to make noise with. You know, they're silent but deadly.
Well put. People were not directed to leave or anything of that sort.
They were at first, and the sheriff was trying to say that this was private property, and I'm not sure those words exactly. But Casey spoke with her, and got her to, well, he didn't, she didn't admit anything, but he suggested that this was public property, and then she stopped trying to get him to leave.
You wouldn't misinform our local people. Come, come there.
We really wondered. We used the word lie afterwards in our discussion about what had happened, but we don't know. Maybe she was just having a memory lapse.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, the periphery is very complicated. There are little nooks and crannies, and it's hard to know where everywhere is private and public. You know, it's very complicated out here.
And again, we've been talking with
Alex Derossi.
Thank you, Alex. And the noise continues, the noise at noon protest. It's already driven away at least one sheriff's vehicle. We're about to park in a parking spot nearby reserved for agents of the WOAC, as we, I guess, should call them.
And WOAC, of course, is the sheriff, Phil WOAC.
At the logistics parking lot area, and they went somewhere else. At least that was my initial impression as to what might have gone down. I'm recovering from that ear beating and moving on to the next event. This is your reporter, Uncle Robert, signing off.
And realizing as I watch the clock get closer and closer to 8 o'clock that there's more I want to do than I have time to do. You are tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM. This is freakradio.org also. We're streaming. Apologies for going off today, and a particular tip of the hat to Uncle Dennis, who will be coming into the studio, I understand, perhaps a bit late because he has a meeting elsewhere. But he's the one who came into the studio earlier today and put the station back on the air. There was some problem that came up. I received a report of someone who may have died outside, or in his car, actually, in the last few days. And I wanted to get in touch with the person who gave me that report. And I'm going to try to call him right now. We don't really know. It's still secondhand and still sort of unconfirmed. But let's see what we got here. I can get him on the line. I'm calling Jay, who is a street performer. For those of you who are regulars downtown, you probably know Jay well. He's a tall guitarist, plays very well.
Hello.
Is this the infamous Jay of the guitar downtown?
Hey, no, but my name's Jay. How you doing, Robert?
I'm good. I'm good. You're on the air with the many millions of listeners we have out there, of course.
Oh, okay, cool.
At least cool, five man. Or six, anyway. And I know we're talking about, you know, Porter, the guy that you know and you have heard has died. Guy who lives in his vehicle. Can you tell us something about Porter? And we don't actually have. I haven't been to the coroner. I don't know his last name. You heard this information a couple days ago.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know his real name. I think I don't even know. But he was just an acquaintance, really, and friend. You know, he'd come play the drum with me, and you know, play on the street, blah blah blah. It was a kind soul. Still is. I hope he's dead. I guess we're talking about him like this. So.
You hope he's dead, you said?
Yeah, because I heard he was dead. So.
Oh, I mean, well, I hope he isn't dead, but if he is dead, I hope we're not maligning him by saying he's dead.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But
I don't mean to make it light or nothing, but, you know, it's just the art of dying. You know, what can I say?
How long had you known Porter for?
You know, probably at least a couple years.
I must know this guy. You know, I can't quite get the person in mind. I don't know anybody by the name of Porter, but I'm very bad at names, so I don't know, you know, what that is.
Yeah, me too.
Where did he usually play downtown?
Well, you'd see him at the drum circle. He mostly rode his bike, you know, lived in his car, blah, 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 like, you know, I used to do. And, you know, just a kind person, you know, real easy going. And the next thing I heard, he passed. So
do we know what he died of? You said it might have been a drug overdose, or what was the deal on that?
This is what I hear, but, you know, who knows? You know, I've heard this before with, like, Suzanne, the drummer. Somebody said she passed, and she didn't remember that. and there were some other person, blah, and
we,
blah, blah.
Yeah, we thought that, you know, that sexy Peter the Saxy player had gone mm-hmm. south, but actually there he was again playing that saxophone up and down the street. So.
Exactly. And, you know, it's amazing when people say that somebody passed, the comments that come out of their mouth right off the bat. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, you know.
But you think it's pretty clear that you think it's likely that Porter is gone.
I would say so, perhaps, yeah.
You heard this from some folks at the coffee roasting company a few mornings ago, is what you were telling.
Yeah, I kind of believe it, you know.
Well, keep us
and return my message. I don't know.
Well, keep us posted on this, Jay. If you get more information, I'm at 423 Huff. Let me know, and I'll pass it on to the folks in the community, in case anybody knows Porter. You say Porter has another name. David, did you say was his other name?
I don't know. Michael comes to mind, but to be honest with you, I just know him as Porter.
I gotcha. What does he look like? How tall is he? I mean, is he?
He was a tall guy. You know, he had kind of like a mullet haircut, and just a real sweetheart. You know, a real real kind person.
Bearded, clean shaven.
Kind of like wanted to have a beard, you know, but he had like a fair facial hair.
How old was he?
You know, he was younger than me. I'm, you know, younger than me and you.
So he was in his 40s or 50s? So.
I would say probably 40s at the most, maybe. I don't know. 42? I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You know, did he live in the San Lorenzo Rivers, the campground area when the Occupy Santa Cruz campground was going?
Oh, yeah, you know, we were all characters down there. I think he was more of a rubber rat, you know, living in his car, right? Is that how you say
rubber
it?
Tramp.
Rubber tramp. Well, yeah, I was a rubber rat. You know, I used to live in my car, the little damn thing burned up, but whatever.
Yeah, I know that I'm personally continue to feel a minor surge of outrage every time I think of Chief Vogel's dispersal of that camp. And I like to hold him and City Manager Martine Bernal and Mayor Don Lane and Mayor Coonerty, former Mayor Coonerty, responsible for, yeah, you know, deaths that have occurred because that campground was dispersed. Because in the campground, I think you had a much higher chance of survival.
Right. I just remember crossing the pedestrian bridge there and just looking at that camp and saying, this is freaking great. You know, I was like, just like, wow. And the sun was shining and everything was like happening. It was such a beautiful sight. You know?
Yeah, it was something the city couldn't do, but the community did it anyway. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about the San Lorenzo campground.
Oh, man.
Well, Jay, thank you for, you know, for coming on. And if you get more news, give us the word and we'll put it out there.
All right, Robert. You have a good night. Thanks.
You too, man. Bye-bye. You can catch Jay downtown somewhere between the former Borders store and the coffee roasting company, strumming and playing and singing and doing a pretty professional job for the whole thing. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. If you know of a guy who's died recently in his vehicle who might be called Porter or Mike or David, give us a call, let us know, give us some more information. I think, again, for the same reason that Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins, who was an activist in the 90s, called Mike Rotkin a murderer for dispersing the Coral Street open-air shelter, as Rotkin and Kennedy did in 1995 in the winter, I level the same charge against Coonerty, Lane, Bernal, and Vogel for doing this to the campground at San Lorenzo Park. Not to mention destroying people's constitutional rights, I would say it goes even deeper and destroys people's survival rights, which, of course, is even more important than their right to hold up a sign, you know, for sure. I have after I got back from the Occupy Oakland protests, which I played some tape from, the second Occupy the Ports, Shut Down the Ports protest, that was a protest against police brutality in Oakland, under Mayor Kwan, interestingly enough. And we should have more of that here. There have been some fuck the police rallies in Seattle and Portland and Oakland since then. And you might say, oh, that's kind of childish, fuck the police. No, it's an expression of outrage against institutional police abuse, the injection of the police political agenda into the mainstream, the right of people to engage in the kind of protest they need to change the 1%, 99% disparity, differential, the oppression of the community the ongoing war economy, the bailout of the banks, all the stuff that really is important, as distinguished from whether they're camping at night without a permit or whether they're smoking marijuana. The things that are really important are the things that people have begun to understand and act on and did this fall with Occupy Santa Cruz. And I'm hoping they will again. Here's a series of people speaking. I think it's before the Board of Supervisors, who I call stupid vipers in my adolescent way, because supervisors have done nothing while the Constitution has been shredded by the police and the administrative department of the county under Susan Mariello and Phil Wowak, the sheriff. First, however, we have this word from the community. Hey there, you're on Free Radio.
This is David Silva. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, David, you been listening to the show?
Yes.
What do you think?
Fuck the police.
Indeed.
They should leave people alone, get a real job.
Indeed. That's, of course, often what I say to police when they come up and start harassing.
Well,
people.
I've never said that, you know? I've never said that. My whole life I've bit my tongue. Bit my tongue, and respect the police.
Well, let me clarify. I didn't.
And respect the police, but you know,
yeah,
I've had enough of being kicked in the ribs.
David,
know?
I don't say fuck the police, although I understand why
they
people
should get a real job.
What I tend to say is get a job.
Get a job. They should
right,
get a
but
job.
I don't mind saying,
and leave people
I don't mind,
alone.
I don't mind it when people say fuck the police, though it makes me a little nervous.
It makes
me
a little nervous too. But you know, that's what I feel like right now, and I'm glad you said it. So fuck the police. Get a real job, guys. Leave us alone.
Now, David,
we have a real revolution going on here. Get the fuck out of it.
I wish there were a real revolution. I don't see too much of a revolution. What do you see?
They need to get the fuck out. They need to butt out. Yeah. They're on the wrong fucking side of the 1%.
Well, I know that you've been outside for about 4 or 5 months now, but now you've finally gotten inside.
I got a couple toes inside, yeah. It's still a real rough haul here, you know. I mean, you have to please 1,000 fucking bureaucracies, and they have to lie to each other 1,000 fucking ways, you know. Excuse me.
Well, you know,
but we're getting in.
You've tried to get action from Monica Martinez, the pinup girl of the Homeless Lack of Services Center, who is portrayed on the front of the Good Times as one of the, I don't know what the phrase is. She's a, I don't know, one of the.
Wasn't she an SS pinup girl?
Local heroes.
I think she was an SS pinup girl, wasn't she?
I don't know.
Maybe it was just a Nazi Youth League pinup girl. Nazi Youth League pinup girl. I'm sure that was it.
She definitely is a Good Times.
We're losing you, Robert.
She's a Good Times pinup girl, for sure.
Oh, okay.
I don't mean Good Time in the sense of
whoopee.
Yeah,
well, she's a real Good Time.
I mean the weekly trashy.
Like to torture people.
The weekly
trashy. If you like to torture people, join Monica in her crusade.
Well, now, why do you say that? Why do you say Monica tortures
people? Ask anybody that's had an experience there.
Tell me
about
that.
If you're disabled, if you're a human being, you get tortured. And you get 13-stepped, you get Nazi-stepped, you get mistreated really badly.
Well, you want anything more specific than that?
Well, let's just say it's a long, cold shower with a lot of petty bureaucracy and a lot of backstabbing and a lot of sorry ass little Nazis running that place, and she's the number one chief Nazi. I'm sorry. Fuck the police. Tell them to get a real job.
Well, thank you, David. Anything you want to add before I...
I just wanted to say that's what I've come to, and that's me. And I'm sorry, I just speak my mind, and I always have. You know that. I've always loved the police. I've always spoken up for them, and I've had it. Tell them to go away. Leave me alone.
Well, thank you, David. And hang in there, man.
Okay, yeah.
All righty. Bye-bye. And always passionate, David Silva, who's actually ran for city council years ago. And he actually tried to help put initiatives on the ballot against the sleeping ban. And there was a time when we actually thought the sleeping ban would be in some way dumped because of his and others' activism. But that didn't happen. That was in 2000. I'm looking up the Good Times article, which if you look at today's Good Times, which comes out every Thursday, as most people know, you can find... this latest nonsense. I don't even know why I want to spend that much time talking about Monica Martinez, except to show you how far away from reality and knowing the nexties, it's called. And that's an article that's sort of the front page. Whoops. Got to find it here. It seems to have disappeared. Dear. Well, I think maybe the thing to do. Here we go. Knowing the Nexties. Yeah, it has four people including Monica Martinez and Jeremy Nooner of Nextspace, who's sort of the comrade-in-arms of Ryan Coonerty, former mayor on the shitty council, who is got a little notorious in my book for harassing homeless people on the bench outside the Nextspace offices on the on Cooper Street. That was almost a year and a half ago. Actually, I kind of ran into Jeremy at a coffee place, I guess it was, or some local business, and you know, I didn't really get a chance to confront him or talk to him at great length about the situation, but I got sufficient videotaped encounters that he had with Brian Parquette that I became very concerned that he was, in fact, engaging in a form of a real harassment of someone who was in front. He was also, not to mention, real homophobic harassment as well. He was shouting faggot, I believe, or some such derogatory term. And, you know, not that I don't, I'm a free speech guy. I believe you should say kike, fuckhead, nigger. You should be able to say what you need to say, however stupid it may be, in the hope that counter speech will be better. But it does tend to typify the person talking, and Ted says to you what, you know, what's really going on underneath. And there's a real anti-homeless, they're a bunch of bums, clear them out, create laws, criminalize them, and give thugs like Winston and the team downtown that run around. And yeah, I do call Officer Winston a thug based upon the kinds of reports that I've been getting about what he's done, beating up people, harassing them with meaningless tickets. Worse than Winston, of course, is Vogel and the police department that tolerates this. And perhaps as bad as that is the community that isn't saying no to this. But it's always hard for people who are well-conditioned to be afraid of badges, guns, and losing their jobs and losing their homes, you know. So I can understand that. Let's hear a little from this, I believe it's discussion board, the Board of Supervisors. A series of people came and spoke about Occupy Santa Cruz. I think this was like last month, about a month ago.
Good job. I'm curious if you also have one. I read about how we want to prosecute people, but I haven't heard anything about prosecuting Wells Fargo. Does anybody know how many homes Wells Fargo was foreclosed on illegally in Santa Cruz City?
Thank you, sir.
Okay, I'm going to finish with this comment. You need to know that. I don't know the answer, but they have, with robo-signing. So if we're going to prosecute here, we have to prosecute here. If we don't do it there, we don't do it here. Okay, thank you.
Hello, council members, and welcome John Lane to the mayorship. My name is Ken Foster. I'm a native of Santa Cruz. And my parents, Herb and Ellie Foster, who started the Quaker meeting back in the 50s in Santa Cruz. My father has Alzheimer's, and he lives with me, and he has been living in my house with me. 3 years ago, when the economy went south, I decided to pay payroll rather than my mortgage.
Kent's a little hard to understand. Ken's a little hard to understand. This is Ken Foster. He came to Occupy Santa Cruz and talked about the fact that his home was about to be foreclosed on, and he wanted to invite Occupy Santa Cruz to come on in and dramatize what was going on there, because as a sort of an object lesson, I think he was able to get some kind of mortgage arrangement with the bank temporarily. He was on my show some weeks ago. And he's a little hard to hear him, both because of the bad recording, and I think he speaks with a strong nasal quality, but let's hear if we can hear him.
For my employees, I did that for 3 months. Universally, the advice is don't start paying your mortgage until you get a loan modification. I went for a loan modification for 2 years, 24 months with Chase. Just last Friday, they told my bank, Whisper, who helps me with my bank, that they denied my loan modification. A week before the trustee sale, which was scheduled for December 19th. So I'm here in support of Occupy Santa Cruz, and we sent you a letter asking that you at least recommend that Santa Cruz has a moratorium on foreclosures. in this town. And it's a criminal process that's been happening to me, and it's unconscionable. And I think we need to address that as a community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jacqueline Fidel, and I saw some of you last night at the public safety meeting, but I'm here on a different issue today. From the testimony that was just heard, I hope the council...
And actually, this is not the Board of Supervisors. My bad. This is the Santa Cruz City Council. It's the last meeting of the year. It's the December, the one December meeting they have. They only have one meeting in December because they have to go home for Christmas, don't you know? And after, of course, destroying both the occupation protest in front of the courthouse and the 100 to 200 people in the campground's survival space, they have their little token meeting, and then away they go. Essentially, rubber stamping what the staff does.
Council members and all individuals in attendance are listening, recognize the disparities between the rich and the poor and how average citizens are being affected. Foreclosures in our nation and larger Santa Cruz community are devastating not only to the individual, but to the integrity of our judicial system. I dropped off Occupy Santa Cruz's foreclosure working group's drafted letter in all of your mailboxes concerning the need for city and council discussions surrounding such issues. My hope is that a dialogue will be started within our community, including Occupy Santa Cruz's foreclosure group, city council members, the county board of supervisors, and any and all individuals enduring the foreclosure process, in order to draft a resolution for foreclosures in Santa Cruz. We would like to begin this as soon as possible due to the time sensitivity of Ken and other community members' homes being illegally seized. I hope we can meet before January 10th in hopes that the foreclosure issue can be put on the next agenda. Feel free to respond to our email.
And as far as I know, it is not. The next agenda is coming up on Tuesday, probably the 3 o'clock and the 7 o'clock sessions. This, of course, is at the 5 o'clock doghouse anal communication session where they get to hear a few grunts and cries and groans from the audience before trekking off to have their dinner at some fashionable restaurant downtown.
Good evening, council members. My name is Grant Heitman. I'm a new resident here in Santa Cruz. I moved in right around Halloween time. I want to thank you all for your hard work and service of maintaining a beautiful community. This is indeed a beautiful community, and I appreciate that. By way of introduction, I'm an active member of the California Bar, so my orientation is towards my sworn oath to the state, which is to preserve and improve our justice system in order to assure a free and just society under the law. Because I'm oriented that way, and I admit I have a conservative orientation, I have found it remarkable to witness the events surrounding the trespass at 75 River Street. I had subsequent conversations with your police watch commander, as well as your independent police auditor, both of whom were extremely well-versed in the situation, very forthcoming, candid. And they basically informed me that part of the reason why the situation became so difficult and that situations at Halloween have become so difficult is because of a lack of resources to respond correctly to incidents of lawlessness. Hearing that, coupled with my own experiences in my neighborhood of being openly solicited to purchase marijuana illegally, as well as the proliferation of new graffiti tags in my area by unknown gangs, but I assume they're narco-traffickers. I can't imagine what other organized crime they could get up to. Prompted me to also volunteer my time to Council Members Madrigal and Council Members Byers to sit on the Measure K Oversight Committee simply to participate and understand the community issues. I'm an advocate of the legal use of medicinal marijuana. I think that it's beneficial for society, but I do see where when we have open dealing in the streets and coupled with the situation around Occupy, I see how legal use can become muddled with illegal use.
It's interesting that this is a guy who wants to get on the Measure K Commission. He's just the kind of person that the city council wants. That's the lowest enforcement of marijuana oversight commission that's supposed to make sure that the police department is not seizing the rights of people to making it. The police department is supposed to make marijuana enforcement for private individuals over 21 in private the lowest enforcement. And, of course, they're not. Or if they are, arrests are going up anyway, and that's not being monitored because the police department has essentially stripped that power from the commission, and if that weren't bad enough, the commission has been, you know, hobbled by the city council's refusal to appoint
militant people. Instead, you get sellout weirdos like this guy, although I don't know that he's actually on the commission. Let's put it this way. Individuals of a conservative bent who claim to be supporters of medical marijuana, but, you know, it's not a medical marijuana isn't the issue of the Measure K Commission. The issue of the Measure K Commission is all marijuana. So if he isn't a supporter of this being the lowest enforcement priority, and he clearly isn't because he's concerned about marijuana use at Occupy Santa Cruz, he's concerned about marijuana selling on the streets as though that were some major crime, when in fact it's the least toxic of all the intoxicants that I can think of. And, of course, you know, he's big on more police enforcement. It tells you sort of where the mentality of the city council is. I think I invited him on the air, but I don't think he came. And understandably, because his point of view is quite different than mine. And I would probably not spend much time criticizing it. There's not much to say about it. If you have that point of view, you do. And if you don't, as I don't, you don't. But let's hear some more.
I just wanted to say that I've also volunteered for the graffiti abatement program, and I'll be talking with the gentleman there, Jay, later on this week. But I want to let you know, when I read in the paper today in the Good Times, the interview with the outgoing mayor.
You can finish your sentence.
I just wanted to point out that when I read the interview with the outgoing mayor and his statement that in his opinion the city and perhaps the state are ungovernable, I was extremely concerned. And I recommend that the council consider the legal avenues available under the Federal Insurrection Act to address the problems before you.
Thank you.
So he wants to send in the troops to make sure that the vacant building at 75 River Street isn't occupied for a moment longer than is possible. Actually, of course, that was the bank that was occupied by people in protest of the bank's destruction. Wells Fargo's, one has to say, probably illegal and certainly immoral and abusive conduct and the bailout of those banks by the Bush and Obama regimes.
Hi, my name is Randa Salek. I'm here representing the more than 300 people from the Women's League, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And Don, I want to congratulate you on becoming mayor. Martine, thank you so much for the peaceful...
And I'm going to avoid feeling nauseated at this particular point. All these congratulations for these hack politicians, again, who presided over the destruction of the survival space and the survival equipment of hundreds of homeless people here in Santa Cruz, while at the same time maintaining this prissy, oh-so-pure, deeply concerned attitude towards the homeless. It's kind of nauseating. I promised Dennis I would not go at least too much overtime, and I'd like to, but... And I don't really have a current show, Dennis, here in the studio for you. You've got some damn show from 2009 or something? Yeah, November 2009. But that's what we're going to play here on Free Radio. And hopefully Dennis will make it into the studio to actually do something a little more current in his From the Cream to the Dregs, which I expect he will. I appreciate anybody who listened into this. I don't know if I... Actually, I don't really care whether you listened in or not, but it's always nice to know that there are listeners, and I thank you for listening if you did. If you want to get in touch with me and you're interested, for example, in researching the power structure and the economic structure of Santa Cruz, I put out a call for this because I think we need to have some sense of who these folks are, what the extent of their real estate holdings and investments are, how much power they have in the political and economic world here in Santa Cruz. If we are to really adequately engage and occupy Santa Cruz actions that do target those with inordinate power and resources in Santa Cruz who have inordinate say over what goes on and essentially create a system which jails the poor, drives people out of town, destroys jobs, and creates a criminalization of homeless people on the streets. Get in touch with me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and hey, we'll see what kind of research can be done. I'll be coming back on Sunday with a longer show, as I usually do, 9:30 to 1, and that's in the morning, so tune in again then.
And until then, stay warm, stay dry, and don't believe what you read in the papers, but check it out yourself on the streets if you can. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.
I want a man who washes dishes.
I want a man who'll make the bed.
I want a man who's not suspicious.
I want a man who's halfway dead.
I want a man who'll do the laundry.
Vacuum the carpet.
Sweep the floor. I want a man who knows his boundaries. No one can ask for more.
I want a woman who...
Oh, shut up. Sit down.
Yes, you're here, dear. Right away.
I want a man who follows orders. I want a man with nothing to say.
I want a man with no ambition.
I want a man with half a brain.
I want a man without a mission.
I want a man who won't complain.
I want a man who carved the turkey.
Feed the goldfish.
Cook the meal.
I want a man who's kind of jerky.
I want a man who does not feel.
Just a cup of tea coming. Just moments on my way. Can I get a cup of tea, dear? Just a moment, you'll need a tray.
I want a man with no desires.
I want a man without a goal.
I want a man who'll build the fires.
Stir the coffee,
stir the coals.
I want a man who likes what I like, does what I do, won't say no.
I want a man who'll always be here.
I want a man who'll let me go.
Just stick it up, fix that toaster. Just a moment, I'll get that door. Just a moment, you'll need a coaster. Let me get it, your feet are sore.
Just a minute, dear, I am coming. Just a moment, I'm on my way.
Can I get a cup of tea, dear?
Just a moment, you'll need a tray.
Just a minute, dear, wait a minute, darling.
Just a moment, love, I'm on my way.
Can I get a cup of tea, dear?
Any love to start the day.
Just a minute, dear, wait a minute, darling.
Just a moment, love, I'm on my way.
Can I get a cup of tea, dear?